Welcome to Youth Speaks Out,
a show by, for, and about young people. It airs on the first Sunday of each month from 3 to 4 p.m. and is hosted by young people in Mendocino County. We want to create a place where young people can talk truthfully about important issues in our lives and have a dialogue with the community of listeners. Today's hosts are me, Mitzi Pearson,
Maddie Brott,
Colton Gover,
Hanani Ike.
We all attend Laytonville High School. Today our topic is 9/11, how it shaped our society. We were 6 or 7 years old on September 11th, 2001. Last month saw numerous memorials and special media presentations on the 10th anniversary of the attacks on the World Trade Center and the Pentagon. We think that it will be interesting to discuss our recollections of this date and how it has influenced our lives, and how the world and our society have been altered by those events. Later in the show, we will open the phone lines for your questions, recollections, and insights. Three of us grew up in very rural Mendocino County and were attending grammar school in 2001, 3,000 miles away from New York and Washington. Hanani was attending school in Nigeria, where she lived until 2 years ago. So we were all far from the actual events. And at 6 or 7 years of age, few children are aware of the consequences of planes crashing into buildings, let alone the political fallout from what most people believe to be a terrorist attack against our nation. The 9/11 attacks killed over 3,000 people and brought great sadness to most of the world. A terrorist plot was described involving 19 hijackers from Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates, under the direction of Osama bin Laden, also Saudi Arabian. There was fear that more attacks were coming, and within a short time, the Patriot Act was put into practice. The Department of Homeland Security was created to protect Americans from terrorists by issuing color-coded threat levels, searching everyone boarding airplanes, and allowing unrestricted wiretapping, creating a perpetual security state. The U.S. government calls for a war on terror. Since bin Laden was said to operate out of Afghanistan, the U.S. military launched a fierce war there, which is still underway 10 years later. In May of this year, Osama bin Laden was executed in Pakistan by U.S. Special Forces. Terry Pittman, a U.S. soldier who attended Willits High School, was killed in Afghanistan last month. In 2003, the war on terror expanded into Iraq because they were accused of having weapons of mass destruction. Since then, our military has been involved in attacks in Pakistan, Somalia, Yemen, and Libya. The cost of wars since 9/11 is estimated to be more than $3.7 trillion. As we teenagers approach adulthood, we wonder if we live under less of a threat because of the war on terror. Have the people who we were told hate our freedom decided not to target us with terrorist attacks? Is our society safer as a result of homeland security and the trimming away of our privacy rights? How long will we be paying off the debt incurred by the war of the past 10 years? And how many more wars will America become involved in during the next 10 years? Today we want to discuss the effects that 9/11 has had on the youth of our nation and the world. In about 30 minutes we will open the phone lines for your input and questions. We hope that you will want to be part of this exploration. We will begin by discussing what we remember of September 11, 2001, and the first few weeks after the attacks. Colton, do you have recollections of the day that the World Trade Center was struck by airliners?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, 10 years ago. It's hard to believe. I don't really remember too much about that morning. I was too busy getting ready for school and everything, but I remember coming home that afternoon, and my grandma, she was pretty upset, and my grandpa was actually pretty mad, and I just saw these two buildings on TV. They were just black smoke bellowing out of them, and they actually sat me down and explained what happened and how two planes have hit the buildings, and then I started to become freaked out. I started asking, you know, are they going to come here? Are they going to come to California? Do we need to move? I was freaking out, but at that time, I didn't really know what was going on. I think I was over it by that evening because I asked what was for dinner later. But other than that, not really. I don't remember much. But the first few weeks after, that's all it was on the news. Any channel you turned to, that's all it was 9/11.
What do you remember, Marty?
I remember my dad calling home, telling my mom to turn on the TV and the news. And she turned it on, and she was in shock and awe. And I asked her if this was really happening. And she said yes. She told me yes. And I don't really remember much but watching it on TV. And I don't remember what I felt like, but I remember my mom was in shock, and my dad was as well. And I just remember watching them become they were in awe of what was happening, and I didn't know what to think of what was happening, and I was worried about them because I didn't know what was happening. So that's what I remember.
What about you, Mitzi?
Well, pretty much the same as Colton and Maddie. I don't actually remember the day that well. I just remember in the morning before I went to school, it was on in the TV and in the kitchen, and my dad was at work, but my mom, I could remember she was really, I don't know if she was really upset, but she was definitely just really shocked at what was going on, and I wasn't really affected by it because I was only like six, but it was definitely a big moment, and I could remember just being worried about my mom rather than worried about what was going on the TV. What about you, Hanani?
I was in Nigeria, and like I was saying earlier, 4 days before, a riot had begun where we lived, and so all of us were inside the house. Nobody could go out. We couldn't watch local TV, so we watched CNN and satellite TV. And I remember knowing that something happened. I just did not know what it was because I was still too little. I remember sitting in front of the TV and actually watching it, but I never really knew what it was all about. I just knew people were talking about it, and they were wondering if there was something connecting the riots in Nigeria to 9/11. But I only knew what really happened last year in school. What did you...
What did your parents and older siblings express... Like, did your parents or older siblings express fear of... or anger towards the event?
Well, my grandma... I remember my grandma, she was pretty upset about it. But my grandpa was mainly... really angry, like he was cussing around and everything. But grandma, she was pretty upset.
Maddie?
My mom and dad were in shock for a while, is all I remember. And I could only ask them why they were upset, and they could only explain so much that I understood, but I was so little.
I really cannot remember the actual day, but I remember my parents definitely, once the shock had passed, it was more of realization of what was really going on, and like that there was really nothing that anybody could do, like, because I mean after it happened, there's like, I don't know how to explain it, but there really wasn't anything anybody could do.
Yeah. Maddie, when did you finally realize what happened? Or understand what had happened?
I would say around 10 years old, I saw a documentary on TV about 9/11. And I asked my mom about it, and she explained it to me. And I remembered watching it on TV when I was little, when it was happening. But then when I was 10 years old and I was watching the documentary, it really hit me, and it was sad to watch, and I felt in shock like my parents were when they were watching it live. Mm. But when I was watching the documentary, I felt how they did when they were watching it live, and it was crazy.
Yeah.
to hear about it and learn more about it now that I was older and I could understand more.
When did you guys first hear of Osama bin Laden, and who did you think he was?
Osama bin Laden. I remember hearing him when I was littler, like back in 2001 and everything, and seeing his picture on the news, and we learned, okay, Osama bin Laden was the leader of this, who was accompanied by this guy, and we just basically learned that he was a bad guy. But I think as we got older, I think we realized we really got more in depth to it, of who he was and what he was capable of, and I think we realized once we got older.
What about you, Hanani? Did you hear, through the news when you were in Nigeria, did you hear about him?
Yeah, I heard about him. I saw his pictures and everything like that. People always talked about him. They joked about him. I could call Mitzi or Osama bin Laden if she did something wrong to me. Or we knew he was a terrorist, so I don't know, maybe the way you would think about him was different from the way we thought about him, because he's somebody that is a threat to the United States. And we children at that time did not really think he would be a threat to us, or calling his name was just for fun.
I definitely didn't really associate him with actual fear when I was 6 or 7 years old. When I got older, I started to really understand like how big of a threat this could be and how bad it could turn out if that were to happen again.
So do you guys feel safer and like now that he's dead or gone or anything?
Not necessarily. I mean, we were talking about this earlier, but when I was watching the video on the TV when he was killed, people didn't seem relieved that he was killed. They just seemed to, it was kind of like a feeling of that we had finally got revenge for what he had done, but it wasn't like, now that he's gone, the world's going to go back, like, the world's going to be peaceful. It didn't change that much.
Right.
What about you, Maddie?
When I heard that they had found Osama bin Laden and killed him, I thought that it was a step towards, like Mitzi said, a revenge toward the Saudi Arabians. And it was helpful to know that he was gone, but it didn't change, let's say, security in airports because he was gone. It's not going to change how we live now with security and to feel safe, because he's not the only one, I guess you could say, that we felt terrorized from. But he did contribute towards it, and it was helpful to know that he was gone, but it didn't feel like a relief, yeah, like Mitzi said.
Mm-hmm. Me and Maddie went to the same school we went to the same school, and 9/11 wasn't exactly taught in our school. It wasn't really emphasized. Colton and Hanani, were the classes you guys were in, did you guys talk about it much?
We actually didn't. I remember our teacher, Miss Hawkins, she talked about it, and she like explained what was happening, just so everyone wouldn't be confused and like, what's happening, but we didn't really cover it as a topic or anything. Or even on the 10th year anniversary this year, we didn't discuss it in school, really. I remember our history teacher gave like a quick short lecture about it, of how it led up to it and what's going on now. But we didn't really go in depth to the subject. What about you guys?
Yeah, for me, my class, well, in Nigeria, I don't remember hearing anything about it. The teachers would not really teach us about it, because it's not, teaching 4-year-olds about what is going on in America doesn't really It's like just a waste of time because they don't really understand what you're teaching them. But last year in school, here, I learned about it. And many people asked my teacher questions about what had happened. So that was when I really understood what took place. And when we watched the documentary on it, I was really surprised because I knew something had happened to the Trade Center. But I never knew exactly what happened, the details and everything. So watching the documentary and the teacher teaching it in class gave me more information on it.
Do you guys feel that there are racist implications to the war on terror?
I do. I think that people are characterizing the Middle Eastern people, whether it be Muslims, Saudi Arabians, any of them, that they're all bad, that they're all terrorists. I mean, I don't think that's quite fair. Mm-hmm. Because there are Middle Eastern people who are American citizens here. And I know in New York, they'll beat them up and just kick the holy crap out of them for being what they are, and that's not fair.
When we were little and we saw Osama bin Laden's picture and we were told that he was the bad guy, it really put his image into our mind as the bad guy. So when we see a man that looks of his race, we think bad guy. And it's had an effect when we go through airports. If we see a man who is of a race that has characteristics of his type, we think of bad things, terrorist, danger. We think of the bad guy, Osama bin Laden. It's been engraved into our mind as the bad guy.
So do you guys feel that Muslims are a threat to the U.S. and or are other nationalities a threat to the U.S.?
I think everyone's a threat to everyone. I mean, the U.S. can just be as much a threat to the Muslims as they are to us or China or anyone. I mean, we all have nuclear weapons by now, so we can fire at any time.
Do you think that the wars have made people respect America more? Just fear America?
No, I don't think the war has made people respect us. I definitely think there's good parts to war and there's bad parts to war, but I just feel that the war we've had in Iraq, I mean, it's been such a long, like, battle, and mm-hmm. it's really, at some point, I think it's just, I don't know how, I'm not, never mind.
I think other countries, I mean, because the U.S. is so dominant in war, I mean, we're pretty good at it. I think it does make other countries fear us, therefore giving us more respect as to not to mess with us because we'll bring the hammer down if we need to.
To me, I feel it's a waste of money. Like, $1 trillion. Oh, no, $3.7 trillion. That seems like so much money. Just fighting wars, I don't know what good it has done. I mean, for the U.S., maybe for the people. Yeah, I just don't understand why so much money will be put into war when it could be used to help people.
Well, I think some wars are worth being fought, but not as many as we have.
Do you worry that there will be another terrorist attack?
I think it's possible. I think it's very possible with the 10-year anniversary. I'm surprised something didn't go down with the 10-year anniversary with mm-hmm. it. And now that we just killed bin Laden back in May, I'm surprised that we haven't gotten anything for that either. Like some kind of reaction from those people. I think it's possible. I don't know if it will happen. What do you guys think?
Well, I think America as a whole is much more safe and protected now that, I mean, after the first attack during 9/11, I think we've made, like, great steps in trying to protect our entire country more. So, in hopes that if another terrorist attack were to happen, we could maybe catch it and prevent it before something drastic happened.
So what does make a war worth fighting? I mean, why is war worth it? What does it accomplish?
If you're accomplishing, okay, like the Americans fought for their freedom, that seems like a war that should be fought. It's worth fighting if you're fighting for your freedom. But if you're just fighting for, I don't really know if what you're fighting for doesn't have an advantage, then there's no point fighting for it. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I definitely don't think. In my opinion, the wars that we've been fighting in the Middle Eastern countries have been a waste of time. I don't think they ever should have started. But that's how I feel towards any war. I mean, I know some wars were definitely, they needed to be fought, and they were fought, and they ended. But it just seems like these wars have dragged on, like, way too long, and there's no really benefit of actually having them anymore.
I think, like, because we were provoked, because we had an attack on our soil, it was, you know, right of us to respond, but not for this whole 10-year thing. Mm. As long as this has been going on, I think it would be fine with maybe just a year thing. I mean, we were provoked, so we responded. You get what's coming to you, but not to drag them on for this long. Or what about removing dictators, like removing people out of power? What if it's the actual people in power who are causing the problem?
I think it's no reason for another country to... If you're invited, okay, it's just like family fights. Somebody's fighting their family, and another person from another family is coming to stop it. It's just... Sometimes, you know, people do not like... others intruding into their affairs. So if maybe a husband and wife are fighting and they find a way to resolve their arguments, maybe, I don't know, they do something about it, but somebody else coming to intrude just makes it worse sometimes. Sometimes it works, but sometimes it's just worse. So it's like going into another country and fighting for them. They should be able to fight for themselves, and if they need help, ask for help. That's what I feel.
I kind of feel that countries fall apart when there's not a strong leader or, I wouldn't really say dictator, but leader or ruler. And to eliminate that, I don't know, I mean, the entire country might go into chaos, and it might be even worse than having a dictator that might have caused problems. Do you guys feel that fear makes people safer?
I think it makes them more cautious. Like, you're not going to approach a snarling dog and pet him on the head.
If you're afraid of
him. If you're afraid he's, like, going to bite your arm off or something.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think fear does make people safer.
Yeah, it's like in Nigeria with all the wars going on and riots and everything. If you know your head is going to be chopped off or you're going to be killed when you go out, you'll definitely not be going straight at your enemy. You'll be trying to find a safe place to go to, or, you know, do something safe. You can't just leave your door open and, well, anybody can come. And I think fear makes you just take more caution, like Colton said.
And going back to the security in airports, do you mind getting searched before you get on an airplane?
Well, I don't know. I've never even been on an airplane or been through an airport security, so I wouldn't know. Maddie, you're the one that travels a lot and goes everywhere, Hawaii, Chicago. You'd be qualified to answer that one.
I don't mind because it's for our security, but I know a lot of people, well, I don't know them, but a lot of people think that the security measures are a hassle, and they think that it is just annoying to go through all of the security and all these new rules they've come up with for the security. For example, you can't bring a fluid more than 5 ounces or so onto through security.
Nail clippers.
But I don't mind. It is for our security. People who think it's a hassle, they're going to think it's a hassle. So they should consider of what the government has been doing to keep our security or to keep us safe by adding those rules into the airports, because if they didn't, then we wouldn't be as advanced, and we would be having more trouble with our terrorist problem. We could it's helped us with our security with people out of the country, and it's helped us feel safer.
I think people feel like they're getting their privacy invaded, but that's just part of being safe, I guess, or taking security measures.
I don't mind being searched on when flying out or when going on the plane, as long as it's reasonable.
Right.
Because I know my parents have told us stories of how people have been embarrassed in airports, told to strip off their clothes or things like that. Just, there must be a reason, but I wonder if that kind of thing happens to me, what will I have thought? Because, for instance, they think the person might have something harmful. That must be the reason why. But then,
is there a different way that the 9/11 attacks could have been resolved other than war?
You know, I'm not quite sure, actually. I mean, if you have an act of violence on U.S. soil, of course, the U.S. is going to respond with violence. So I'm not quite sure. Mitzi, what do you think?
Well, I mean, I think we were protecting ourselves, but I think anything can be resolved in numerous ways. So I definitely think that it could have been resolved in probably a more peaceful way, but I'm not disagreeing with how the U.S. decided to take action. But I mean, it's they felt that was what they had to do, so they did it.
I think it goes back to saying protecting yourself when you're afraid. Like what you're talking about, responding with war might have been the best decision they made, which will make them feel safer.
Or if we were just to call Saudi Arabia and talk it out and be like, oh, why did you just hit one of our buildings? Does that show that we're weak and that they could do it again? If we didn't send a violent response for their violent action, would that make us look weak, like they could do it again and bully us?
I don't know, there's so many ways to look at it. It's not, yeah. Do you guys feel that anything could be done to make the world more peaceful, though?
I don't know. I think there's always going to be someone murdering someone hitting someone, yelling, screaming. I don't think that world's ever going to be peaceful. I mean, you can live in your own peaceful world, your own, but I don't think the whole world is ever going to be peaceful. There's always going to be some kind of fighting.
Mm-hmm. I mean, steps can always be taken to create a more peaceful world, but I don't think we're ever going to accomplish
total peace.
Yeah.
Right, we're never going to reach a goal.
That's just like people being wanting revenge, they're being jealous or angry or always. Things that are like human nature. So if you eliminate that, then...
Yeah.
So, since we think of ourselves as a Christian nation, is war a response Christ would have chosen?
War response.
What do you guys think?
I don't think so. Because in the Bible it says, if your enemy slaps you, you should turn the other cheek. But it doesn't mean you should be a coward either. There are, like what you were saying, there are better ways of responding to had an attack on you. We're talking about it in AP English the other day. Revenging. Another way of revenging might be being nice to somebody who is mean to you. And it's like heaping burning coals on the person's head because the person is wondering why you're being nice to them. But then, other people might interpret it as weakness. But I definitely would do not think war would have been what Jesus chose.
I agree. I've always been taught that, I mean, violence isn't the way to resolve things.
Be the bigger person. Yeah.
Two wrongs don't make a right.
Yeah, it's like saying you're too big to fight with this person. It's like, why am I fighting with... It's like fighting with your younger... Somebody who is younger than you. Like, you're in high school and you're fighting with a middle schooler or...
Right.
It just seems wrong.
Yeah. So we're going to open the phone lines now. The phone number is 456-9991. Everyone is welcome to call, and we'd especially like to encourage the youth in the listening audience. Please call in if you have any questions or insights about 9/11, how it shaped our society. What recollections do you have of September 11th, 2001? Did you sense that our society would become radically changed? In what ways was our society altered by the events of 9/11? Do you think the 9/11 modified the possibilities for those who were children at the time? How has America's role in world affairs transformed since then? Could 9/11 have been avoided? Do you wish you could turn back the clock? Was the execution of Osama bin Laden a resolution in the world on terror? Have the past 10 years made the world a safer place? Is America a safer place because of Homeland Security and the Patriot Act? Is there something we could do to make the world a more peaceful place? The phone number is 456-9991. When you call, please be ready to turn down your radio or we'll get a very confusing echo. The number is 456-9991. Please call and be a part of this discussion on how 9/11 shaped our society. We'd really like to hear from you. Caller, you're on the air. Caller, you're on the air.
Hello there.
Hi.
Hi. I'm just slicing up tomatoes and storing things up for the winter and listening to your program. And it's kind of unfortunate, I feel, that most of the people speaking, most of the students there, feel that the world is a very challenging place, a very fearful place.
Yeah.
And feel that maybe we need to be searched and everybody who's traveling anywhere checked out. And once upon a time, you know, 30 some odd years ago, I hitchhiked my way halfway around the world, and the people who picked me up and invited me to their homes, who refused to let me stay in public accommodation, who refused to let me sleep on the beach, not because of security, but because of potential rain, were so incredibly generous with me. And it's unfortunate that I think our preparedness for tragic circumstances kind of precludes us from having a feeling of generosity towards one another.
Mm-hmm. That's really true.
I think there's more volatile people out there than generous ones, and that's mm-hmm. kind of sad. There's not too many people like that left in our country.
I think, you know, it's unfortunate to compare notes with the high school and with the country and with Homeland Security, but there's a lot of generous people in the world. They may not all be living in the Middle East, but the world is an expansive place, and the sooner we see it as an expansive place rather than a concise place that we can predict with security checks and such, I think that's all the better for us. An American race, United States citizen traveling abroad should recognize that it's not all perilous. Anyway, that's my comment. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, I have kids your age, and it makes me really sad that the post 9/11 generation seems to feel like things are pretty bad in the world, and they don't sound hopeful. And I really want to remind you that a very small group of people can change the world. And this isn't the world that it should be, kids. This is This is a world that's dominated by corporations who want us to be at war with each other, not at peace, because there's no money in peace. So remember that. Don't think that you have no choice. I mean, we can choose peace in the world. We don't have to fight each other in order to resolve our conflicts. It's like at school, you know, when your parents and your teachers said, you know, no fighting. It's the same. We're not supposed to fight each other. I mean, even if somebody does something really awful, we're not supposed to do it back.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping that there could be some hopefulness in your voices about your futures, even though the Earth is in trouble and we've made bad choices. My generation especially have made bad choices. Your generation can make better choices and choose things that will help restore peace and also help restore health. So good luck, kids.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah, I agree with her. I'm upset that I can never live in a time when I could hitchhike halfway across the country, but, I mean...
You could.
I mean, I could, but I'd be scared to.
Yeah, you'd be scared.
I don't really know if, like, I mean, it would be very difficult to actually find someone willing to pick me up, I guess. I don't know.
it would definitely be scary because, I mean, you've seen things on TV, you've heard stories in the newspapers of people getting killed, murdered, everything, and that scares you.
Mm-hmm.
Back to the man who called in about the generous people and violent people. There are a lot of generous people in the world. I agree with that. We just hear of all the violent people on TV, so we hear about a lot of violence, and we think that that's all there is, but there is really a lot of generous people, and I agree with that, what he said.
Yeah, I agree too, but I don't think the generous people ever get enough recognition for the news, or always the bad people who get the attention.
I agree.
It's like bad stories go faster than good stories.
Again, the number is 456-9911. 9991, I'm sorry. We'd really like to hear from you.
I was looking at the questions and I was wondering if you could go back in time and change the events. What would you have done during 9/11? I mean, would your reaction have been different? Would you have paid more attention?
You know, I don't know. I mean, I was only 6 at the time, so I honestly could not tell you. I'd probably be more focused on playing with my Tonka truck because I was so little and didn't comprehend anything that was going on. So I honestly don't know.
Caller, you're on the air.
Yeah, so I have a question for you. The guy that attacked Osama bin Laden, he's from Saudi Arabia, and he's an expatriate who supposedly lived in Afghanistan, and the United States went and attacked Iraq. How does that all work out together?
Yeah, we were actually discussing this before the show, and, I mean, we're just, I don't know, there's really no answer to that. I mean, there must be explanations for why we did what we did, but, I'm confused as to why we would.
I guess my point is that there are some things that simply never have gotten answered, and, I just wonder what y'all thinking about that.
Yeah. What are your insights on this? Caller?
Yeah. So, you don't have any comments on that?
Actually, we were wondering what your insights were. I mean,
well, I'm sort of thinking that it was just an excuse to go attack Iraq because they have a lot of oil. And so they just used 9/11 as an excuse.
So you think there was a hidden motive for attacking Iraq?
Yeah, I think so. It's like, all right, we got attacked. Now let's make the most out of it.
So do you think our government played a part in this? or like taking advantage of it?
I think they took advantage of it. There's a possibility they played a part in it. I don't know, but that's hard to say, of course. But I would certainly not discount the possibility that they even knew that it could be happening, and that they decided to let it happen because it would give them a lot of options to go and do a lot of things because people were fearful. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when people are afraid of stuff, they'll let you do things that they wouldn't otherwise let you do.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of the Constitution that simply has gotten demolished because it was a good opportunity to do so. Everybody was afraid and they'd give up all their civil liberties.
True. Well, thank you, caller.
All right. So, that's all I have to say about it. So,
thank you.
Go on to the next one.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, sorry to bother you again. I called in earlier about hitchhiking. It wasn't halfway across the country, it was halfway across the world.
Oh.
And I carried a surfboard with me. And I don't know if that's an instrument of peace or a potential instrument of warfare or how people might perceive that. But maybe it was a prop, like a flat tire on a bicycle that people have empathy. That's my comment. Bye.
Yes. Yeah, that actually makes sense. I mean, it changes your appearance and I don't know.
Maybe makes you look more calm, like you don't want to kill someone. Do you think that the 9/11 attacks were revenge for something the Middle East thought America had done to them? I mean, were they provoked by us in any way to come attack us?
Maybe. There's always motive. I mean, who knows what was really behind their reasoning.
Just like the other caller said, going into Iraq must have been, or could have been, a reason to get some oil. They could also have had a reason for coming here that nobody knew about, or they knew about, but we do not know about.
Yeah. Again, the number is 456-9991. So, what do you guys feel about, I mean, overall, do you think 9/11 has made our world a safer place? I mean, everything about security and... Caller, you're on the air.
Yeah, I think it's interesting listening to what you said about human nature when you talked about, you know, people don't seem to change that much when you're speaking earlier. And, you know, the gentleman who hitchhiked halfway around the world 30 years ago, the world's not significantly different today. You know, people are still people. Societies are still societies. I mean, 30 years ago, I was in parts of the world where if he'd hitchhiked, they would have been picking his pieces up from the side of the road. So 30 years ago, there were some very dangerous places in the world. Nigeria was one of them. And, you know, these things come in waves. They move around. I was in Guatemala a few decades ago when people were getting slaughtered and put into mass graves. I mean, and then other times I was there and it was pretty peaceful. You know, this is true all around the world. Referring to what you said about human nature, it is only through societies and ways we interact with each other that we keep each other calm. And violence can spiral out of control when there isn't sort of the mothers of the world telling their kids, calm down now, you don't need to go do that, you know. It's a thing that we always need to work on because of what humans are. You know, when you have a little baby and it's throwing things at another little kid, you know, and you say, no, you can't do that, you're going to poke his eye out with that thing. That's the same behavior that we wind up having later. It's something where everyone has to be socialized. We have to constantly be working on a world where we treat each other better because there's always people that are trying to get away with things. So it's a constant thing where you're always working on enculturating everyone into a world that is better for all of us. But if a few people want everything and not let anyone else have anything, it's going to be very hard to do that. So the only real way, like if you have one country where they're taking all the resources of the rest of the world and they're saying, well, we want a really high living standard, but, you know, the rest of you guys, well, you know, you can send us your stuff if you want, but we're not going to let you live in that higher level. You're going to have real problems. It's when you have these really divergent levels of how people live. So it's just something to think about when you talk about, oh, you know, times are bad now and it's dangerous. I couldn't hitchhike around the world. Well, come on. I see people hitchhiking around the world all the time today who do just fine. And there's always people that are getting in trouble also, just as there were 30 years ago. The information cycle has changed to where we instantly hear things that you might not hear for a few weeks or ever before. But humans haven't really changed, and there's always been good places. People reminisce, oh, 50 years ago it was so great. Not if you were black in Alabama, it wasn't. So it's a constant thing we have to work on. It's never going to change as long as humans are as they are. But just going and blowing up other countries doesn't really solve the problem either. Mm-mm. It's interacting with each other in a way that we're trying to make the world better for all of us. Basically, the person who cuts the cake never gets to be the one that picks the first piece, or you'll always have problems. We need to find a better way to do things, and as resources are becoming finite, in order to make it so we're using the resources of this world to make it better for everybody, or we're bound to have problems. Thanks for your show.
Thank you.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hi. Well, it's really a good show.
Thank you.
Are you getting feedback from the radio?
No.
Can you give me a second to turn it off?
Sure.
Here's my question. Have any of you guys, in preparation for, or maybe in reaction to the program, seen Fahrenheit 9/11?
I don't think so. No.
Mm-mm, no.
Well, I've heard of it. What was that? Because I've heard of it.
You guys know what Fahrenheit 9/11 is?
No, we're not sure we do.
It's a movie by Michael Moore that came out in 2004 that caused the Bush administration to say they wanted to push him off a cliff.
Yeah, I've heard of it. I never saw it, though.
Well, you guys might want to check it out. You don't have to, just believe, just go so you'll know what to think. You can just look at it, and I think it's done well enough that it will encourage you to really have a really lively understanding of ways of dealing with what happened.
Yeah. Could you describe it to us? I mean.
Well, it's a movie that has all to do with the destruction of the towers, and it draws the connection between the Saudi royal family and the Bushes and Osama bin Laden. Not to say that they were all related or the Bushes are behind it in some direct plotting mafia-like way. Just that since 15 of the 17 hijackers were Saudis and they were flown out of this country, the only people flying in the air on the day afterwards were people from Saudi Arabia flying out of this country. And now they found a couple that has given the hijackers a lot of money. They just found them last week in Florida, and they left on August 30th, just before 9/11. That the fact that they were almost all Saudis on the plane, and then two other countries were attacked, makes you wonder why they didn't pursue this as this enormous crime with Saudi authorities and demand that the FBI be allowed to come into Saudi Arabia and question people that might have known these suspects so that they can understand what happened and how to stop it.
Yeah. Did you agree with the movie?
I agree with thinking about it as something to understand rather than, as you guys very directly and, I don't know, in a very fresh way put it, you know, we do it to get revenge. At least two people or three people said that, and I think that's exactly true. That was really part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to stop it, you've got to understand how it happened, and you've got to, you know, stop it from happening again. Not just go through with revenge, because that may or may not stop it. But finding what the causes are, mm-hmm. and eliminating those causes through basically understanding.
Yeah.
Because, so Bush said, why do they hate us? He said, oh, they want our freedom. Well, that's not what Osama bin Laden said on the day after, or 2 or 3 days after 9/11. They interviewed him on NBC. And he said, we did it because of what you've been doing to us for 80 years, what's happening in Palestine, and your complete choking off of Iraq. That's what he said. So I'm not saying that you should all believe that, or I should believe it. It's just, you got to look at, try to understand it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not let fear drive you to just think revenge is possible. The last thing I'll say is, why didn't they get information from Osama bin Laden? Why did they just kill him? They could have found out where he was the last 10 years and who was sheltering him. So, you know, these are questions you might think about, because it's critical. It will be critical to your whole lives.
Yeah. Well, thank you, caller.
Thank you.
Caller, you're on the air.
Good afternoon. You guys are doing a great job out there. I missed the first part of the program because I'm on a shopping run. But I heard a little bit of your introduction at the beginning. And so I guess my question is, is America safer? You know, that's hard to say. But is the world a safe place at all?
Mm-hmm.
Many of you feel safer. I personally don't. But the thing I want to say about that is, I think it's maybe kind of a good thing that we don't necessarily feel so safe anymore. Because the world is a dangerous place. As the callers, two callers before me were talking about hitchhiking around the world. Like, yeah, you can get chopped to pieces by a machete, or you can get hit by a bus, or you can contract some terrible fever and die. You know, tragic things can happen to us at any time. And I think Americans, by and large, for many decades, have been extremely fortunate that nothing really bad has ever happened to our nation.
Mm-hmm.
Almost every other nation on the planet, in Europe, you know, they got hammered by World War II, and all of the third world countries are always undergoing various assorted unrests and terrible things. And we're so very lucky that we live in such a safe place that I think it's important for us to realize that the world isn't a safe place. There are lots of people that grow up living in fear, people your age who have been to war and back. And that I think it's really important for us to realize that we do need to try to make the world a better place. What the caller was saying earlier about the Fahrenheit 9/11 movie, which I do very much recommend that you see, it's not just a conspiracy theory movie. He talks a lot about the media's manipulation of our state of mind and about what we think about how afraid to be. It's a really, really good movie. You guys should check it out. And, yeah, make the world a better place, because I think the reason why terrorists strike anywhere in the world, whether it be Americans or in Spain or in Tokyo, is because they feel injustice. They wouldn't do it if they didn't feel that they had been wronged somehow, whether or not they really were wronged. But that's why people strike out like that, is because they feel they've been given the short end of the stick.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I would say is, you guys are obviously all on the right track because you're doing this show, but work to make the world a better place, because youth and young people who are still learning how to think and how to believe are probably the only hope that our world has of getting any better, because us old farts are screwing it up.
Well, thank you, caller.
All right. I'm going to get off the phone so you guys can wrap your show up.
Caller, you're on the air.
Wow, one of the few occasions I get back to KZWAX 3 times in a row. Hey, so I'm the guy, the hitchhiker guy with the surfboard. So before I left from my hometown of San Diego, third generation San Diegan, I was taking long bike rides. I was riding about 200 to 300 miles a week, and I used to get regularly harassed by American soldiers who were in Camp Pendleton. And they would yell things at me like, you fucking faggot, excuse me, I'm sorry for the curse word, faggot, blah, 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 that they would try to run me off the road. And I don't know what state they were from or what planet they were from,
but they were part of the reason that I decided to hitchhike halfway around the world. So whenever anything slaps you in the face, just know there's another option. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I like what you said about finding different options to solve different problems. If these people were cursing him and doing wrong things to him, and he decided to find out if the world is all like that or if there are better people in the world, and obviously he found that the world is not all the same. There are good people in different parts of the world. So I think we should always find other options. We should not stick to one and think all our options are nothing.
Mm-hmm. And I definitely, like, a couple people mentioned the movie Fahrenheit 9/11, and I would like to see this now.
Movie night at Maddie's house.
It just gives different point of views of, why this happened and how it happened.
And the trouble with fear is that it limits our experiences, because if you're afraid of doing something, then you don't get the experience from doing it. Like, sometimes I do something because I know later I'll be wishing I did it. So if I let my fear make me not do what I want to do at that point, then I'll miss out on so many opportunities and things that could have helped me.
Mm-hmm.
That's all for this month's edition of Youth Speaks Out. Your hosts have been me, Hanani,
Colton,
Maddie,
and Mitzi.
Thanks to all our callers. One of the purposes of this show is to involve the community in dialogue, so your call-ins are important to us. We're happy to have been able to broadcast from the Willits studio. Youth Speaks Out is produced in cooperation with Safe Schools, Healthy Students Bronco Project, building resiliency opportunities for the North County. For more information about the Bronco program, please call Pat Sanborn at 459-5314. 459-5314, or email at psanborn@mco.us, psanborn@mcoe.us. Youth Speaks Out is produced and directed by Dan Roberts, who may be reached by mail at P.O. Box 1162, Willits, California 95490, or through the website www.youthspeaksout.net. There you can find out more information about the project, get addresses for contacting us, get a copy of a show, and listen to many hours of previous programs in streaming audio. The views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KZYX. They are the views of those who expressed them. Our next show will be on the first Sunday of November, the 6th, at 3 p.m., Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in November.